call you children. Father, have you as our God. The
power that you display as you work through us and into the lives of others. God, it's amazing to be your children. Thanks for being with friends and family here today. The songs that we get to sing, Lord, to build our faith about you. And Lord, you're good to us and you're amazing in our lives. And Father, right now I just pray that you move me out of the way and you would do what I'm unfit to do. And I pray that as we go through this time that it would be clear that you're the one working. And I get no glory or honor for this, but you are the one that's honored through it all. Father, thanks for Aaron and his heart. Thanks for everyone here and the hearts that they have. Father, it's good to be in family. It's good to be here right now and just let my thoughts roll with you for a moment. We need you and pray that you would now just fill our hearts with your presence, with your word, with confidence in you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. This morning, I've been pretty convicted about sharing some thoughts with you on leadership. And I confess up front that I'm not a good one. And there's some things that I will say today that I have to confess to you that all of the bad things I have pretty much mastered. And so it's pretty fair that I would talk to you about it. I'm good at the bad stuff about leadership. And so up front, if you get a little bugged by what I say, just know I've already confessed to it and just join the crowd. Fess up so we can move on. But leadership, if you're not a, as we would say, a church leader or a Christian leader, don't lose heart. I see as soon as I saw leadership, everybody started passing out gum and getting out their phones, text their moms, "Mom, I'm at church," really. Listen, you're a leader somewhere, somehow. So put the phone down. And if you're going to pass out gum, give me a piece too, all right? I need something to keep me awake while I'm talking. Anyway, leadership, you are a leader somewhere in your life. Either you may be a church leader, you may be the president of the PTA, maybe you're a parent, mom or dad, that makes you a leader, right? Maybe your friends look to you as the leader of their group, coach, team captain, it goes on and on, right? Scout leader. We could talk about this forever. Maybe you're just a leader of the dudes that meet at McDonald's every morning and you get the story started, but you're a leader somewhere in your life. And so this message today, not Jamie talking, but the thoughts shared, I think will be really good for all of us. But up front, I got to say this also, because I know me and I know a lot of you. When I say the word leader or leadership, some of our pulses quicken a little bit, don't they? Our hearts flutter, back straighten up, our skin tingles, our mind starts sparking because we really like being in charge. We love credit and honor and glory and power. And you say leader, you might not be thinking, "I want to do the work," but you're thinking, "Somebody's getting recognition." And could it be me? That's tough stuff, isn't it? It's hard to deal with. See, our struggle is in our society today, we're so infatuated. We're really infatuated with glory, with me being known, with promoting myself, with getting me out there so you know I'm somebody and I'm worthwhile. And I probably did this. I might not have been the one putting it together, but I probably had a lot to do with it. And we really need credit and honor in our lives today. And so up front, I need to say, in leadership, in being in charge of something, there's so many folks that are so distracted from what it really is. And it doesn't take long to notice that when you look around at what's happened to our economy the last several years, that leadership is struggling for identity. It's become, what can I get instead of what can I give? And so today, I want to just discuss for a little bit what Jesus called us to or calls us to as leaders in every phase of our lives, but specifically, spiritual things. And I know everything's spiritual, and it needs to be, but specifically, here and in the things that happen within the church. Luke 14, 7 through 11, when he noticed how the guests, and we have some PowerPoint in a few minutes, but I just want you to hear for a little bit Just let the word of God wash over you, hear what he's saying, be convicted, be blessed, be affirmed. Whatever the deal is, just be real with God here for a bit. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come to you and say, "Give this person your seat," and then, humiliated, you'll have to take the least important seat. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The mother of Zebedee, Matthew 20, 20 through 28. The mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. And she said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom the Father has prepared for by my Father." And when the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And you pick up immediately, you see Jesus what we call the Last Supper, as he kneels down because there's no one to wash the disciples' feet. And the scripture says he knew where he had come from and where he was going, so he got down and began to wash the disciples' feet. He says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself, I will exalt. Because I didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many." That's why Jesus came. And it's so not the case in our world today, is it? If I ask you to take a poll of your life for just a moment to evaluate, this is painful. Well, I wish I could get this quote in my head. Promoting self under the facade of promoting Christ has become so relevant or so prevalent that it hardly calls for notice. The quote is about the fact that we talk a lot about Jesus, but the reality is we're really only doing it to honor ourselves, to bring glory or credit to ourselves. And in a world today that is all about me and I, it's not really confusing how it would sneak or slip its way into the church. But it's never been the call of God. In fact, when we say leadership, it's kind of a really arrogant thing right from the start. No offense to anyone, but what's it say? I'm the big dog. I'm in charge. I'm the man. You look to me, right? I mean, really. Now, I don't mean, I know that some of us have good hearts. I get it, okay? But you know what I mean. It's as if when we read these past two scriptures and we really think about what's going on in the world today, that most of us have become a bunch of posers, critics, or just glory hounds. Posers, critics, and glory hounds. You get the point, right? We don't need to go too deep into that. Poser, you really aren't what you look like you are. Critic, always got a problem with everything as though you could do it better. And glory hound, involved in everything so that you would be the one. Somebody notice me. Somebody pay attention to me. Get it? We have such a problem. But it's safe to say that Jesus wasn't nearly as leader happy as we are. It's safe and fair to say that Jesus was not, is not, as leader happy as we are. Somebody being in charge. Somebody being the guy. He also called it, he called himself the good shepherd. A very humble term. A very lowly term. a real leader. When we hear leader, one last thought about this. When we hear leader, we tend to think authority and great recognition. But Jesus says, when Jesus says leader, he means shepherd or servant. And his greatest call to us is two words: follow me. And that's where I want to begin his call to us today. Jesus' greatest call to us was not stand up and be a great leader. You stand up and be recognized. Stand up and get yours. His greatest call to us was follow me. Follow me. He hit the scene and those were the words out of his mouth. People knew that he was somebody great, story spreading everywhere. But his words, they weren't stand up, rise up, go somewhere, be great. His words were follow me. Matthew 4, 18 through 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. 21 through 22. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Matthew 8, 18 through 22. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Matthew 9:9. And Jesus went on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Now, this is where it's a problem. This guy's betrayal. He's a thief. He's got all kinds of problems. And Jesus told him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Matthew 10. "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. You hear Jesus calling. That's his call. Follow me. Follow me. Be a great leader. Now follow me. Be the man. Now follow me. Be the woman that everybody looks. Now follow me. Get what you follow. Follow me. Learn. Get the leadership classes. Develop the program. Follow me. Follow me. Matthew 19:21. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect," and just a challenge, "go and sell your possessions to give the poor. Go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And of course, when we're following Jesus, he does something, right? He does his work. He makes us into the body that he's called us to be. That one body, but many parts. Some of us, he stands up as leaders, and some of as encouragers, exhorters, workers, detail people, task-oriented folks. I mean, you get the point. But somewhere along the line, we have elevated my specific task as the one, man, and you need to notice it, and the world needs to notice it. And Jesus says, no, lift me up, because you can't do anything without me. When? Why? How did I ever decide I could do this without? Well, I don't think I can do it without him. I just want everybody to know that I probably do a little better than you do, or could do it without you. I mean, we wrestle with this stuff, right? You can raise your hand, or we could just all know it anyway. That's tough, isn't it? Here's powerful leadership in action. If you'd put up the first slide. Thanks, Jacob. Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents. watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke to Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend or as one speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. You see, amazing leadership. Moses never called the children of Israel to worship God here. He never said, Moses, your leader, is now going to worship God. And it would be wise and timely of you that when I get there and the cloud comes down, that you worship as well. Moses went and got alone face to face with God. And when people saw the response that would happen when Moses would go, they worshiped as well. That's a great example of leadership. Aaron and I were talking last night, and this was the very thing that we said. And you know what happens. He comes up this morning, and as he sings, he worships. And when he worships, we're all moved to worship, right? Because that's what a leader does. A leader pours himself out to God with the talents God has already given him, and then God fills him and fills others with that man, that woman, right? I mean, there's the call to leadership. Next, please. Paul says, just really simply here, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Check it out. When I'm following Jesus, follow me. And when I'm not, kick me, punch me, do whatever. Follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, follow me, I'm the great apostle, and he was the great apostle. Could have claimed a lot of things for himself, and he said so. He said, I count it all garbage because of Jesus Christ. Follow me as I follow him. It's the only time I'm fit to follow. It's the only reason I am qualified to follow. Next. John 14. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me? Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. And you hear Jesus saying, I don't even claim it. I don't even claim it. I don't claim great leadership and that I'm the man. I say, God, I'm his puppet. He starts talking, and all of a sudden, my mouth starts moving. He says, heal, and somebody rises up when I'm near them. I don't claim it for myself. It's all him. When you've seen me, you've seen him. Nothing great about this. That's Jesus, the Son of God, who died for your sins and said, follow me. Next. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And you hear Scripture say he is the exact representation. He didn't claim anything for himself. He let it all go, and he gave it all up that God would be the one honored, that God would be the one whose name was raised on high. And oftentimes, you see Jesus sneaking off to get alone because it was with God that he got his strength, and it was with God that he got his power, and he would turn and give him the honor and the glory for doing it. Jehoshaphat said, as the armies were crashing down on them to take over in the Old Testament, he goes to God and he says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And when great victory was had, great honor was given back to God. They didn't claim it for themselves. And we need to do the same thing. See, when Jesus called, he called to follow him. And as we follow him, then he makes us leaders like he was. Servant leaders who are called shepherds, who are tending sheep, who are working with people who struggle and are disheartened, working for people who are struggling and disheartened. And there's no other way that we're ever going to encourage or challenge the world about life and hope in Jesus if we keep getting glory and honor for ourselves, because that's what they've always done. In fact, maybe the most convicting thing is the world is actually listening to Jesus, and a lot of us aren't as leaders. The world is actually listening to him. I have proof that the world, corporate America, who has just destroyed our economy to a large degree, they're actually listening to Jesus, and we're still saying what they used to say. Maybe if they shift society, the values and the way things are done, maybe we'll get it back if we just wait long enough, or maybe we could just humble ourselves before him and let it happen again. But listen to what's happening in corporate America. Many corporate coaches and trainers typically use Jesus Christ. This is talking about mostly after the big economic issues. They typically use Jesus Christ as the premier model of servant leadership because the old model doesn't work anymore. His words and style are often quoted as the standard for how to lead while serving. In fact, one of Jesus' most profound statements serves as a benchmark for servant leadership when several of his disciples, the body of 12 men he was mentoring, argued about who would be first and have place and presence with him. To which Jesus said, "Let him who seeks to lead first become a servant to all." This completely molded his disciples as their only view of leadership was shaped around the Roman culture they had seen. And there's our struggle as well, right? What leadership are we seeing? It's tough in a society that's driven by social media and things like that to not promote ourselves relentlessly. To not promote who I am and what I'm doing and what life's all about. It's pretty much me. But Jesus says, that's not how it works with you. Because the only hope the world has does not hinge on you, because you can't do a thing for anyone. Jamie Riley can't do a thing for anyone. Not a soul can I save or help or breathe hope or life into. But Jesus Christ, when I die to myself and humble myself before him, and he lifts me up to follow him, and then he molds me into a servant leader, and I go to the world and say, I'm a bum, I'm a loser, but man, I got hope for you. I got hope and life for you. And you show up like that, and you bring life and hope and power to whatever situation you're involved in. But when you show up as you, and you're the life of the party, this baby's going south fast. So I want to encourage you today, every one of you, you're a leader somewhere, somehow. You are a leader. Somebody is looking up to you, and Jesus is saying, don't take credit for yourself. Step away, step off, step back, step somewhere. I'll give you the power to do it. I've given you the talent. I'm giving you opportunity. I'll work through it so it works well. And in the end, when they say, good job, somehow say, it was all by the glory of God. I could have never done this by myself because he's really powerful and great and I'm really nothing. And God will smile. And he'll bless you with another opportunity. And when you do it again, he'll bless you with another opportunity. And when you do it again, he'll bless you with another opportunity. And soon he'll be leading lives and hearts toward himself in you. And you will be too hopeful in the situation to dare take credit for it, because you want that more than anything, that lives are saved and God is honored. But we have to die. Let's pray together. Father, we love you for so many things, but that you included us in something that you knew had every chance of going right to our heads and filling us and our ego with arrogance and selfishness and everything else, that you would include us and just trust that you could get your message across to us, that this thing is too big for us to do it by ourselves. We need you. God, that you would include us in that is beyond what we deserve, but it's so filling and so thrilling and so exciting. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to step back and help us to see you and help us to be content with playing the background, second fiddle, or whatever it's called, and let you or your leader at the moment, whether it's John or Jason or Tammy or Kristen or whoever, that you would use them and we would say, check with them, because he's using them well. And we just support what you're doing, God, with incredible hearts for you. Move us now, Lord, and if any of us are encouraged about the invitation, pray that you move us to respond to you now. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. If you're encouraged to respond, if you're not a child of God today, we'll have an elder on either side of the opportunity. They would of the auditorium. They would love the opportunity to immerse you in Jesus today. And if you need prayer for anything and encouragement, they would love to help you with that as well. Let's pray as we stand and sing.